Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what have you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com to start now.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on a Flagtober reveal Tuesday. Just posted a picture of the new G-Bag flag on at G-Bag Nation. Follow us all when you get there and stay tuned for details on Flagtober 2025 and your chance to pick up a free G-Bag Nation flag in any remote appearance or our Tour Day DFW, which kicks off Flagtober every year. Jalen Carter hit with a $57,000 fine. That seems heavy for spitting. That's sending a message, isn't it? Does that surprise you, that number? I thought maybe 10, 15.
I mean, I don't know. I think it, like you said, I think they want to set a precedent. Like, we're not used to seeing this. I think they want to nip it in the bud as quickly as possible.
It's crazy that the NFL has made it a point of emphasis in the offseason. Like, we're going to clean up the unsportsmanlike acts toward one another.
Yeah.
And that's how the season started. But, yeah, I guess then the other thing is the NFL clarified there's no rule violation for Dak for his part. I mean, spitting on somebody worth $57,000, I would think spitting in the direction of somebody might at least be worth something, but there was no, like, credible film evidence that he, you know, spit anywhere close to him. We just saw it fly off the screen, I guess.
Yeah, that was just a run-of-the-mill, casual, professional football player spit. Yeah. Can't be fining dudes for that.
No.
No, I don't think so, but there will be no further suspension as essentially...
Game served.
Yeah, an entire game. One of the most memorable openings to an NFL season we'll ever experience, and that story has now run full circle. Jerry also clarifying this morning, no rules violation negotiating directly with the players. And that's something that we talked about throughout the story a few times, but a number of fans continue to, you know, think that it should be against the rules, and maybe it should, but I guess that would have to be negotiated in the NFLPA. I think it maybe it's unethical if you're, you know, trying to work around an agent. It might have been a deal where Jerry said, listen, if you let Mulligetta go for the gusto here, we can't do that. And Micah said, okay, let's see if we can get some sort out between the two of us.
Yeah, where Jerry said, listen, he was wanting to start where I was willing to end.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of where I felt like that was when it was all bets were off.
Yeah. He explained in that press conference after Micah and Jerry had whatever they had as far as an agreement.
I'd have gone as far as I can.
Yeah. Mulligetta treated that as the Cowboys' beginning point in the negotiation.
Yeah.
And now we're going to try to work to a new midway point from what we're asking for now.
Yeah,
that was probably the last straw.
I think that was one of the reasons why.
Jerry also saying on the fan this morning, by the way, with Sean and RJ's Tuesday at 8:30, he said, I think it's fair. We'd like to get Tyler Smith signed. I hope this means they're realizing they got to get things done sooner. And this Micah Parsons one should be the end of that chapter in Cowboys negotiations, especially after Micah said this week how toxic his life had become in the last 6 months. He ends up getting $15 more million a year than he would have if you would have signed him in early 2024. There's just no win for the team doing it way they have.
No, and you know it's unfortunate. It's, you know, all these things kind of, you know, the laundry now starts to get aired out a little bit, and both sides, in my opinion, were at fault at this, and you just don't want to ever go through this one again. But man, you know, if the Cowboys continue to draft players that, you know, play at this type of level, and you would hope so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they need to figure out ways to get things done a little bit quicker.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, I think for my perspective, I wonder if they've gotten in such a habit of waiting and just letting the status quo hit, how much of a gear change this would be. But there's a significant win, and I think it's a good sign. Jerry also saying that Trayvon Diggs is ready for full snaps. So yeah, that's a good.
That's if you're asking me to make any changes, you know, we kind of went through some changes that you would make. Would you make changes at defensive end? Would you make changes at, you know, various positions? I would say that the cornerback one would be one I would focus on. Diggs, Bland need to be the starter. Elam, when they go to nickel, he could come in and play, kick Bland in the slot. This makes your secondary, I think, a lot better. And really, honestly, it's a lot sooner than I even thought it was going to be.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think
credit to Diggs.
Everything we evaluated in training camp in the preseason was under the assumption they were going to have a giant hole at one technique defensive tackle, yeah, and a major problem at corner with undrafted guys coming in. And they were, yeah, much more solid, I think, as a result of Clark and Diggs being out there.
If you ask the majority of Cowboy fans where they were worried the most, they would say probably the defensive tackle number one, and then you're right, the cornerback position was number two.
We didn't get to this yesterday. Maybe it was bulletin board material for the Packers, but Dan Campbell said they were more relieved Clark was leaving the division than worried about Micah Parsons coming in. That's how much respect the division rival Lions had for Kenny Clark. And on that point, Jerry said this morning the two highest grades in-house coming out of Cowboys and Eagles was Dak Prescott and one Kenneth Clark.
Yeah, Kenny Clark, we went into this thing thinking that it was going to have to be maybe Jay Tuia, you know, playing a lot of snaps, being the starter. Now he's a guy that can come off the bench and help. I wouldn't touch the rotation at all at defensive tackle right now. Mm-hmm. Mozzie Smith doesn't need to play. They've got enough guys. They were two guys too many. You know, even like I say, with Winfrey not dressing and going on the IR, there's no reason to dress Mozzie Smith right now. They've got the rotation the right way.
Are there NFL phrases or words out there that when you got to say them, it's kind of like, oh boy, this is just an awkward one? You know, there's a lot of you know, war analogies, but there's also bedroom analogies quite often. You know, and if you're not careful, you can really end up sitting in it. So I say all that to say, Kenny Clark had the fifth fastest get off.
Yeah.
Amongst the Cowboys, the only players that got off faster, mm-hmm, were edge players. And Kenny Clark,
they were edging.
Yeah. There you go. They're around every turn.
Yeah, and that's how you want it to be, right? You want your edge rushers to be the guys that are getting off the ball extremely quick. Yeah. But especially at this age and off the injury, we were kind of wondering,
yeah,
where is Kenny Clark from the explosiveness standpoint, all that kind of stuff. But man, through one game, it was awesome to see.
Dude's out here getting off faster than Osa, 5 years younger than him. How about that? Get off? Check this out. Yeah, for a man that size?
I tell you, the Cowboys did a really nice job in that after the weather delay of playing on the Eagles side of the line of scrimmage. They were being really disruptive when it came to attacking gaps and kind of wrecking some blocking schemes.
They were penetrating.
Joseph Hoyt, Morning News, mm-hmm, has a story on Marshawn Nyland and talking about
he needs to start.
How Nyland watched Tank, and they were both second-round picks, and the idea is Nyland can step in and be that kind of defensive end that sets the edge and is a bowling ball with knives.
He was drafted to be that guy. And the thing that held him back was pass rush. I think in these last couple of years, he has really done a great job of developing himself as a pass rusher. I would start him over Fowler in this particular game if it was me.
Yeah, to the non-scout eye, I would say Nyland has pretty good pass rush, but like Tank was still kind of built for it a little bit more.
Tank was a little bit more bendy.
Yeah.
And Nyland was a little bit more of a boxy, thicker kind of guy, so it was kind of a hard time for him to really turn the corner. But he's getting better at understanding where he needs to be in the rush, and that helps him, you know, his awareness of where the quarterback is in the pocket. And a lot of these guys make the mistakes of trying to just rush right down the middle of guys. You got to play on the edges of these big tackles. And when you get you playing on the edges and you get that foot, you get that weight on that outside foot, then you work back underneath. And, you know, I think he's learning how to do that.
203 asking, do we have a timeline on Revel?
I have not heard an update on that one, no.
Jerry Jones suspecting the Cowboys will have both Mozzie Smith and possibly Jaden Blue is inactive again against the Giants. Yeah. Schottenheimer said he wants to see more consistency yesterday. I think the red flag for Blue now is multiple chances to get right. And, you know, after the report from Glenn Stretch Smith just a couple of weeks before training camp, I would think that would send out off alarm bells. Like, holy cow, I got to start paying more attention and be locked in. I might be letting an NFL opportunity slip through my fingers. But then to have this continue to happen, and when we asked Steven and Shoddy talked about this in camp, they didn't totally shoot down the report. You know, they're going to support their guys and believe in them and everything. But, you know, I think this is significant. You know, I think that's a humiliation that a player suffers publicly when a reporter says sources are telling me he's borderline lazy. If that doesn't motivate you, I think you put this on an extended clock while you're waiting for it and don't expect. Like, this is a situation where maybe after a full season of football going into year two, Tyler Guyton type of deal where, man, it's time to get locked in now. This is year two. I'm not a rookie anymore.
Yeah, and that'll be super disappointing. I mean, if he can't get this thing figured out to get on the field here at some point this season because the skill set is not something the Cowboys can duplicate out of that backfield. So yeah. I do think there is going to be a need for him, and I guess it'll be up to him to earn that spot. But, man, it'll be nice to have a guy that can really give you some explosiveness.
Man, I really hope this is just all about Shoddy trying to get his mental squared away and, you know, on a professional standard level and not he's struggling to learn, you know, or he doesn't, you know, have the instincts to do everything that we need him to do. I hope this is more psychology and mentality than football ability right now or trust ability. But, I mean, there was a reason Sarkisian didn't play him much either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm wondering right now. Is it just like a learning thing? It's hard for him to pick it up. He's working his tail off and he's just not getting it.
Yeah.
Or is it he just needs to up the professionalism a little bit?
Okay, and speaking of that, I think maybe one of the biggest topics going into week two that's being slept on right now is George Pickens' routes. I mean, this is kind of a test for Shoddy having a rookie running back and then a fourth-year wide receiver. You know, I don't know if they want him long term. I think the fact that happened week one, you saw the devil on his shoulder there with the personal foul, then grabbing the cornerback's calf or leg there in the end zone after the incomplete pass. And then you have, you know, not giving your all on routes where you're not the primary or secondary guy. You know, I would say everybody has to be better in this situation. The quarterback has to find him better. The coach has to insist that he's part of the game plan more. But everybody else in that equation was a total professional. I don't know if you're trying to establish a culture, how patient you could be with that kind of stuff. Like, how hollow does your message ring if you're like, guys, we got to be disciplined and we got to send 110% every play if you brought in a guy who might be on short term and is just, you know, kind of going through the motions in a lot of plays. I think that is a big story, and we're kind of sweeping it under the rug now because the George Pickens honeymoon.
Yeah, I don't know. And just from my point of view watching, I said earlier that the routes weren't great. I think the execution of the routes weren't good. I think to me there were times where he needed to be at a certain depth or he needed to break at a certain distance, and that's where it got a little sloppy. I don't think the effort on him were bad. I think where it was he was asked to do certain routes, and that part of it was I know that John Owning and Pro Football – I talked about this before John Owning even.
You did, yeah. You talked about this Friday with us.
And to me, it's like the routes weren't great, and I don't know if he is a great route runner. That's the thing about him.
Okay.
I don't know if it's more of his technique or lack of as opposed to effort. I think that there's been a lot of his life that's been where he's played.
Because that was the label on him in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So sorry if I inferred that from what you said.
I see a guy, me personally, I think this guy, I don't think they get him the ball enough. I mean,
no, you're right.
If you're a guy that's creating pass interference opportunities, they can't, you know, they're grabbing you, they can't cover you. You're trying to make one-handed catches even when the ball's not anywhere really near you. I mean, this guy's got skill. His route running, I don't think, is particularly great. But like I said, I wish they executed the 4th-and-2 play better. I wish they would have done that better. That you know, they're trying to set a pick, and they didn't get that executed very well. And so that's the kind of thing that bothers you about the routes is like, okay, your responsibility is to do this, you know? And I don't think it was lazy. I just think he didn't do what he needed to do because they needed him to hold up Mitchell so they could get the route, the wheel up the field. And they just didn't get that. And I don't know if he's just a that is his makeup as he is this great route runner. I don't know. I think he's got quickness. I think he's got a lot of ability to go get the football. I think he tracks it great. I just don't know, just watching him play a little bit, if his route running is really, that's the on the top level for where it needs to be.
Okay, how real are these Rangers? ESPN did contender pretender. They do conclude they are not real contenders, but they acknowledge here, this is starting to look like a Bruce Bochy special. Rangers sneak in. Boch figures out his bullpen just at the right time. DeGrom and Merrill Kelly win their starts, and Seager returns to earn yet another World Series MVP award. Never overlook a Bochy-managed team in the postseason. The Rangers just have to get in. Yeah, and if you would get Evaldi healthy, Seager, Garcia healthy, and then you know, obviously Tyler Malley probably coming back this week as well, things could get really interesting in a hurry. There's a trade in the division. Philly is getting set to take on the Chiefs. A little bit of a Super Bowl rematch early in the season. They get running back Tank Bigsby from the Jags in exchange for 2026 fifth and sixth round picks. I guess he's a heck of a return guy. He averaged 32.5 yards per kick return. Eagles see Bigsby as that and remains high on their running back depth chart as well, which is, I think, hurt by a Will Shipley injury. So they have A.J. Dillon, Saquon Barkley, and now Tank Bigsby coming over from the Jags. But that's emptying the tank quite a bit, a fifth and a sixth for a backup running back. That must speak to a significant need there in Philadelphia for help in the return game.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a slasher when you watch his running style is that of, you know, he's got the vision, the lateral quickness, all that stuff. He can kind of get himself out of trouble with the blink of the eye. That's what I think makes him such a good returner, is he's kind of got that feel for how to make people miss.
All righty, we have Jared Sandler's coming up at 4 o'clock, but it's time now for the Rangers player show, and winning pitcher from last night, he was outstanding in 5 2/3 innings of work. Jacob Latz joins you next year on The Fan.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what have you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com to start now.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On Fox One, now you can stream your favorite live sports so you can be there live for the biggest moments.
Touchdown!
And catch history in the making.
Gibby, make three!
Fox One, we live for live. Streaming now.
All right, welcome back, Nation. It is time now for the Rangers Player Show. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And the Rangers Player Show presented by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Starting pitcher last night's Rangers win, 5 2/3 scoreless. Been an absolute godsend for the pitching staff. They suffered so many injuries. Jacob Latz joining us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, you guys, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you. How you feeling out there? Are you feeling as good as everything looks?
Yeah, you know, it's been a good, you know, run here the last couple of weeks. Just trying to stay in my delivery, keep it consistent, and do it over and over and over again. It gets a little monotonous, but that's why we play the game. So got a good rhythm right now and looking to keep it going.
Hey, Jacob, you've had so many different roles on this team. And I was just curious, and you seem like your demeanor never changes throughout. Like, if you know you're pitching in a blowout game, you're starting a game, you're doing, where do you draw that from, and how is it the one thing that you just, it kind of keeps you going, that you just keep that kind of that calmness about you?
Yeah, I think that's always been kind of a part of my game. I think that's why I loved pitching and baseball the most as a kid, as opposed to the other sports I played. I felt like I was able to just have that calm composure out there, and it's something that I pride myself on, and I think it keeps me level-headed, but it also keeps me focused. And you know, sure, there's emotions running on the inside, but I think you know, I always grew up being a starting pitcher, and that was one thing that I felt like helped me, you know, carry myself throughout the game, is managing my energy, but then keeping my emotions in check so that I can, you know, still go out there and perform and execute pitches later in the game, fifth, sixth, seventh inning, type like that.
Are you one of these guys that never says no to people? Because it seems like you get put in some situations like they're asking you to do things and you should just say no, but you're just like, yeah, just hand me the damn ball. I'm going to go out there. You know, I'll give you the four innings. I know we're getting crushed right now. Or, you know, I just admire you the way that you're able to just take whatever job they ask you to do and you get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in crunch time. This is you know, this is why you play the game, is to go out there and try to win games or help your team win games, whether that's not that given day. You know, like you said, if I'm in a score that's already out of hand, or an opportunity like yesterday to start the game. You know, we've had injuries and everyone's going through it. Everyone's sure. Grinding. So it's just answering the call. You know, every opportunity you get to step on a big league mound is something you should appreciate. You know, where there's only a few of us that get that opportunity to do it. And so I think that type of attitude and mentality is something that I don't want to ever lose sight of. And, you know, why should you?
How does your game day routine change when you're going from, you know, when it's a day you're going to be starting, or where you're playing in the bullpen?
Yeah, you know, I've gotten used to the bullpen role. I got moved there permanently in 2023, got called up there at the end and had a few outings, and then 2024, spent the majority of the year here. So I got pretty used to everyday life as a bullpen pitcher. And my spot starts here, up here this year, have been kind of spread out earlier in the year. And then, you know, as the last couple outings here, I've gotten a couple in a row, but still with the approach that I don't know for sure that I'm going to be starting. So for me, it's been kind of just keeping it the same. I do like the idea of at least mentally preparing and try to physically prepare as well to be available out of the bullpen, you know, 3 days out from a start, and then ultimately getting the call to start on that normal starter's rest, 5-6 days with the off day these last couple. Has made me feel a little bit more rested. Something I definitely always enjoyed as a starter was the routine aspect. But it's something I've said throughout this year, you know, as starters and baseball players in general, we get very superstitious about the way that we orchestrate our routine. And one of my favorite things about being moved to the bullpen was dissolving a lot of those things. So I definitely have less of a perfectionist approach when it comes to my routine. But then ultimately, once the game is on, it's like you flip that switch and it's you know you're prepared and it's just time to compete. So I've really enjoyed that side of things this year.
It's Jacob Latz here with you on The Fan. What about when, like in the media, we say it's Latz against Quintana. Does it change when you're up against an established veteran or an ace or a young guy or a journeyman, or is that all the same too?
I think it adds stuff, if anything. Quintana, he's been around for a while. I think he's in the top 10 in terms of active pitchers and strikeouts going in the MLB. So that's, you know, he's had a long career. I grew up a Cubs fan, and so when he was with us, it's someone I've always, you know, paid attention to. It's a similar, just smooth, looks easy delivery, and a similar pitch repertoire. But, you recall the game, too, against Schuylkill on Sunday Night Baseball, and when you go against someone like that, there's a little bit just added adrenaline to the already start opportunity that you get at the big league. So I do love the mano a mano type aspect to it. I think it helps drive my overall compete mode that I'm able to get into when I do have the opportunity to start the game and kind of set the tone. It's always a fun aspect of the game when you're out there and you're in control.
How cool was that last night, man? You pitch your tail off, then you get the standing ovation as you exit the game. What is that like?
Yeah, no, that was very recognizable. It was something that I was just in the moment, like I was really trying to take it all in, and very appreciative of the fans there. That was a really cool moment. I think, you know, we're all watching that game, waiting for something to happen. Hellman comes through with the grand slam. Put up a zero the next inning, and then go back out there in the sixth, and ultimately Boach comes to give me the ball, and the fans rise to their feet. That's something you're always like. Those are the moments that you'll look back on at the end of your career and kind of enjoy the most, as opposed to all the other ones. So,
man, that must have been awesome. Looked like a lot of fun, and I imagine not even a Bears fourth quarter collapse could bring you down on a night like that.
Well, I don't know about that one, because the game was still on after we wrapped up, and I watched pretty much the only negative side of that game. So, my friends group chat from back home was all in depression mode, and it's, you know, back to where we are normally as Bear fans there, where hope is lost. But I don't know. It's part of the gig now.
I mean, they must have been happy that you helped the Cubbies a little bit, right?
That was part of it. Yeah, they're like, they're adding a little bit to me. They're like, the Brewers' demise starts today, and I was like, all right, I'll carry that with me tonight. And yeah, so I mean, it's just a good way to start the series, and for us, like, we're right there, and we're inching closer, and if we just keep playing the baseball we have lately, I think we have a good shot at this one.
Can you stay a fan of your hometown team when you get drafted? I mean, how's that go for you and a lot of guys? Is it? I mean, I'm sure it's still cool to see the Cubs win. All your friends are happy.
I guess it helps. They're in the National League, it's different growing up as a fan, and then when you're actually a part of an organization and you're around, you know, all these guys in spring training, and then you're working your way through the minor leagues. It's a different type of appreciation you have for that certain organization. So the Cubs are the Cubs. I think playing at Wrigley is like the one thing that I still would be on my bucket list at this point. But they're just another team now, unfortunately. And I have more emotion, more attachment, and more just passion for the team I was drafted by than a fan growing up.
Yeah, we'll never see it from you, though, right? You'll keep stoic, right? Just got to keep stoic. Yeah, we're not going to see that emotion, right?
No, I doubt it.
Broadus, I thought you were going to call him out for the Wrigley Field being the most overrated ballpark to watch a game at.
I know.
Shots fired, well, Jacob.
Wait a minute, I've been to a few. Yeah,
sorry.
No,
I've been to a few where I've been blocked out under the first level there, and you can't really see the game. There we go. I'm with you on that one.
Tell him, Jacob. Tell him. I tell you what, Jacob. I remember the first time I saw you pitch. I'm an LSU alum, and I remember pitching you when you pitched against Rice. Matter of fact, in a championship game and stuff. So, I was kind of hopeful. I hope I didn't bring up something about LSU that were bad memories for you and all that, but. But what about LSU baseball? Do you you went there and all that initially and stuff, but was it a good experience for you?
I mean, it was a good experience in terms of, the maturity as a sure. baseball player.
Sure.
It was just unfortunate for me, from an injury side. I just could not get over the elbow injury I sustained early on as a freshman. And, and unfortunately, just started a mental cycle for me that was tough to break out of. Sure. And I wish things were different. But, yeah, to your point, I was still able to start in a SEC tournament game, a regional game. I also appeared in a super regional game. And so those were the moments that you would live for to be an LSU baseball player.
Yeah.
We went to Omaha as a freshman. So there's a lot of highlights and a lot of good people I met along the way. And it still taught me a lot of good things. But, yeah, I wish the overall on-field stuff was a lot better. But, no, it was still great.
Well, thank you for what you did for us, though. Appreciate you, man. I really do.
Especially turning down $1 million signing bonus from the Blue Jays to go to LSU, man. My gosh.
He knew where he needed to be.
I feel like there was life lessons that you can't get from passing up on a college opportunity.
There you go.
I don't regret it at all.
So how does the culinary experience here in North Texas compare to the Chicago food scene?
Chicago is definitely a little more diverse. You kind of get a little bit of everything there. You can find certain spots that have the genuine culture in terms of just the broadness to it there. But, there's a lot of good sneaky spots in Dallas, and it's growing. It's definitely one of the more diverse cities in terms of in Texas. So, we've sticking to the local, Mexican food and barbecue. But there's a few spots. I'm someone who enjoys eating healthy. So I found a few that are, definitely up with the times in terms of, local food and whatnot. But, I like it a lot. It's comparable for sure.
Get a little brisket sando action on a cheat day?
I would never turn down a brisket sandwich, no. So,
that's my guy. By the way, what's the nickname? Are they calling you Latsy?
Boch likes to call me Latsy. A lot of people do call me Latsy, yeah. No one really calls me by my first name. Cole Wynn, one of my closer friends growing up, he calls me by my middle name, Eugene, or just Gene. So yeah. That's always a good one.
Is it baseball? Does everybody have a nickname? Is it one of those things? Does anybody use their real name in a baseball in
There's
a clubhouse?
Not many.
Yeah.
And usually, if you do, it's probably not a good thing. I would say.
Gene, right?
I like Gene. Yeah, that's my grandpa's name.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know.
Mine too.
Nice.
Midwest guy as well. Thank you so much, Jacob. Congrats on your success. Hell of a conversation with us here on The Fan, and give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Salute. There he goes. Jacob Latz, brought to you by Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Won't be surprised if he's part of the opening day rotation next year, coming out of surprise.
I'll tell you what, man. I love his demeanor. I really do. I think it looks like nothing bothers him out there. That's a great way to operate.
Tough kid. Great perspective.
Yeah.
Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I got some questions for my guys. We'll do those.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what have you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com to start now.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fox News is now streaming live on Fox One. The voices you trust. The stories you won't find anywhere else.
This is the story breaking right now.
Fox One. We live for lies.
Try it free for 7 days. Offers are subject to change. Go to Fox One for complete terms and conditions.
Next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's, Brian.
Thank you very much, General.
You.
What are you talking about, man? Have a baby or go to Vegas for the, what do you think?
For the fight? Oh, Wolchuk, yeah.
Wolchuk.
Bun in the oven. Could have gone to Vegas with Hagee and Lucius, decided to not go. I think he made the right call. I mean, you had that spring training incident a couple of years back with baby number one where he had to immediately fly back.
We handled that with
perfection. I think him leaving town might like start the birthing process. That's what I'd be worried about.
Yeah.
Some sort of a trigger.
So he's in that window then, huh? Is what you're saying?
Miracle of life.
Yeah, he's in that window of when he had his last baby, which was plenty early.
Yeah.
But baby Eliza is an absolute super beast fighting through the adversity. So hopefully that doesn't happen again. But and then going to Vegas too. I mean, wifey's body will just start working in crazy ways, knowing that you're in Vegas. And then riding like a flu bug into Vegas like he's dealing with right now. That would have been a disaster. I mean, Lucius would be having to spray down the plane and everything else sitting anywhere close to him.
14 years ago, when Abby was about 2 weeks out, we had the Olds versus Youngs softball event out there. Was that Mansfield or Midlothian? They're down there at Field of Dreams. And it was like 45 minutes away. But, I mean, wife was like, "You're not going, are you?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, I mean, it's 45 minutes away. What's the worst that could happen?" I had Armin Williams holding my phone as, you know, I was going up to bat and playing the field. I was taking my phone with me. I was highly paranoid. I think Wolchuk's doing the right thing. That's just tempting fate too much to potentially miss two.
Yeah. Parcells asked me about Bennett that time. Like, he was born 3 days after the 04 draft. Parcells like, "You're going to be here for the draft, are you? You're going to be here, right?" And I said, "I'm not going to do what you did and miss your daughter's birth."
Yeah, it's too old school.
Called him out on that one. But
it's too old school. You don't want to miss that miracle.
I don't want to miss that. It's the only one I'm going to have. All right. Oh, by the way, Malik Hooker was on the injured list yesterday with a toe.
Yeah.
Be fine.
Good.
Be fine. Yeah, don't worry about
that. That was just a little mini practice yesterday, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So tomorrow we'll do some good.
I mean, I know he's not the surest tackler, but he's one of the best runs defenders they have.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there were a couple of times where Donovan Wilson playing down. Matter of fact, Botch Lombardi and I broke down a play today for our site where we were looking at how they fit the run fits and stuff like that, and how Kenny Clark and then some of the plays that they were able to make, and then Donovan Wilson was a big part of coming down in there, and that's just got to have. You got to have some fits. Got to have some fits. All right, I got some questions for my guys here. Dawson, I'll start with you on this one.
Bring it.
Better coaching job, Brian Schottenheimer's first half or Matt Eberflus's second half?
You know, I'm going to give it to Eberflus because as the game went on, he got better. As the game went on, as you pointed out, Forrest, Shotty got worse. I know the question was about what he did in the first quarter, but I think figuring out a way to bottle up that Eagle offense, and you know, I was more shocked by that. I was expecting Cowboy failure at some point with the offense. The beginning was a nice surprise. I'm gonna give it to the defense though.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Man, it's a great question. And I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna go with the offense because it was something that we had been hoping for in a big way.
Hadn't seen that in a while, huh?
Hadn't seen that. They were pulling out a lot of new tricks and fun things that we were hoping for with the new coaching staff. And Dak looked like the best version of himself with no preseason, off an injury. Schottenheimer had that offense absolutely cooking in the first half. They were being aggressive, and the run game was better than we expected as well. So you could go either way on this. But I'll go with the offense.
I kind of had not very high expectations of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think you're totally right about the offense and what they were able to do with the motions and the way Dak was playing, and you know the way they were getting guys open, attacking. I thought that was impressive. I was worried about that defense. I really really was, and I was worried about all of a sudden them not being able to control the running game, but the fact that how well they played in the secondary, they got pressure on that quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, they made the zone. I mean, is it as simple as playing zone coverage against that guy? I can't believe that's just the only thing, but it seems like zone coverage is that guy's kryptonite. That he falls apart. You play zone coverage and make him have to read. I think Schottenheimer's second half, they said, damn, we'll just keep believing if we could just play our gaps, play a little bit better contain, you know, we'll make this guy have to make some throws. And I think that was pretty impressive to me. But I do love what Schottenheimer did in the first half of that game. I really, really do. Okay, Chief, who needs a bounce back game? CeeDee Lamb or Cowboys linebackers?
Oh my goodness. Well, they certainly to some extent.
CeeDee started off well too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean I have more faith in CeeDee Lamb that he is still going to be one of the best receivers in the league. And what we saw the other night will be the last time we ever see something like that from him again. The linebackers I think are going to be a consistent problem for you. Hopefully you can get Overshown back at some point this season, but you can't really bank on that. Maybe you start to see more Maris Leofau, but for as fun as the defense was, especially in that second half, you have some serious linebacker issues.
Yeah, I would totally agree with what Chief is saying in there. I don't think that these linebackers can bounce back to being good because they're not good. It's tough to watch, and I do like Overshown a lot, but it seems like he's boom or bust type of linebacker more than he's down in and down out consistent guy. But yeah, CeeDee Lamb will bounce back. He's going to be great. I think we're just trying to survive this linebacker experience until, you know, they use that Micah Parsons money to bring somebody in or draft somebody high. But this is a major problem, I think, for the defense. And if they could get this fixed at some point between now and the trade deadline, there's reason to believe in this Cowboys team. I don't think they're that far off. But with that big of a hole at linebacker, it's probably going to define defensive disappointment week in and week out.
I wonder if they're in a situation, too, where all of a sudden you play the Giants and maybe the Giants aren't really good offensively. It looks like to me that Russell Wilson running the ball was kind of their best, you know, him. He's always
just running for his life.
He's just going to scramble through the middle of the pocket. He's going to run through the middle. He's not going to run on the edges. And I just wonder, but I also feel like, is this Giants defense going to give us some fool's gold? You know, fool's gold if they'll, you know, I mean, if, you know, with the linebacker play and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, this should definitely be a
all
bit
of a
get-right
like,
game.
Oh, it's a bounce-back game. And, and it's, and then in reality, you play the Bears next week or something like that, or you know, you get the Packers, and you're like, oh, no, wait, I got fooled on that one.
Yeah, I mean, if the linebackers look a lot better versus the Giants, you're not going to just say, oh, problem solved.
Yeah.
But they should hopefully look a fair amount better versus that offensive line and just that offense in general, which was so bad on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Washington brought in Kinlaw. They had the other guys at Payne that's still there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they had good defensive tackle play. Russell Wilson didn't have anywhere to escape up the middle. Yeah. I'm hoping the Cowboys can provide the same look.
Yeah. I'd like to believe that. I'm not saying, Eric, this you're going to have the, oh, this is a get-right game or something like
that. No, I'm not doing that.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not doing
that. I'm thinking a handle business game.
Oh,
yeah, handle business game? I like it. Hey, we got a pregame on at 9 a.m. this Sunday. Check us out. We'll be out in the plaza, Miller Lite Plaza. Dawson.
Yeah.
Were you surprised the type of game that Tyler Guyton had with no training camp, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you did have the pressures, but yeah. He did a lot of things well. I'm optimistic in that he's going to continue on this path. I think this goes to his mindset, his focus, his determination to make the Cowboys right for making him a first round pick. And he came out there locked in and determined to do the best he could.
Sure did.
I think the most impressive thing is how much he's changed his body from being lean
right
to now being
having a little bulk to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Chief? Were you surprised that how well that Tyler Guyton played with just really no training camp practices?
Yeah, pleasantly surprised. I mean, in that environment, in Filthy versus that defensive line, I mean, for sure. He had some issues, but I mean, there's still plenty of reasons for hope. So yeah. I was pleased.
I was pleased too as well. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brian. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning.
Yeah,
Krusty's Corner is. A salute to Jacob Latt, who joined us back there for the Rangers player show at 3:25. If you haven't heard much from him, I'd highly recommend you go back. It's about 12 minutes of gold there with Jacob Latt, who was the winning pitcher last night. We'll get more thoughts on these Rangers with Jared Sandler coming up next here on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
You can't count on much these days.
No way, Jim! This is incredible!
But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Here we go! This time for real!
Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, starting with a classic Week 1 NFC North rivalry between the Lions and the Packers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today and count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On Fox One, now you can stream your favorite live sports so you can be there live for the biggest moments.
Touchdown!
And catch history in the making.
Gibby! Make three!
Fox One, we live for live. Streaming now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.